Thank you very much, Jim and Kathy. And I will definitely take you up on that bubble wrap. At this point, all I can get. I appreciate the service already today. And I trust that it's ministered to your heart. There's a reason why we read that phrase and we read it and we see it every year about this time, lest we forget. And one of the things that I appreciate so much everything this morning, all the effort that has been put into this, and as we look around, we see that there's been a lot of effort to help us to remember. And I appreciate so much the Van Velts and what you shared. And Marie, you said it was just a glimpse. It's all I need. It's all we need. But that glimpse is important. To look back, to remember what those that have gone on before us, those who laid their lives, those who served, went through, what they did. And so I appreciate the words this morning. I wanted to begin by sharing a passage from James, and then I'm just going to read something. And I'll comment a little bit, and if we have time, we'll get into some of the sermon message here this morning. And what we don't get to today, we'll get to tonight. So you're all obligated to come back, just so. Not really. But I wanted to share from James, first of all, excuse me while I use this device to do so. James chapter 4, you know, over the last couple of days, and again, yesterday I was with some friends and we talked about many different things as we do. We get together once every 4 or 5 weeks, and we usually start about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I didn't get home until 10:30 last night, and that's always the way it is. Old friends, Christians, you love the Lord, and we compare notes, and we talk about the challenges of life and what we've learned and what we need to learn, and different things come up, and war is one of those things that we discuss. And we might ask ourselves from time to time, why do we have war? It's so horrible. It's so life-altering. It's so traumatic. And we know our servicemen and women who go overseas. They come back and they deal with the trauma of what they have had to see or watch or do or put up with, PTSD and those sorts of things. Very real. And so we asked ourselves, why? What is it all about? Why do we have to do this? Why do we war? Why do we fight? Why do nations rise against nations? Why do kings rise against kings? It's because the Bible is true. It's because the Word of God has clearly told us that we have a sin nature. And that without direction from the Lord, without obedience to Christ, that nature will lead us in our own ways, the ways that we think are right. Because every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And all we like sheep have gone astray. And that's the reason the Bible is true. Do you know there's coming a day when the Prince of Peace will rule on this world? The Prince of Peace. And there will be no more wars. There will be no more need for servicemen or women, no more needs for the military or for the Navy or for the Army. And we won't have to worry about the sounds of wars or the sights of wars or the memories of wars any longer. But it is only Christ that can put it straight. It is only Christ that can bring the peace that we so desperately need and desire. James answers the question about war. You know, the Bible is relevant for all times. It answers every question. It might take me a while to figure out where those answers are within the Scriptures, but it is the Word of God. And He wants us to know these truths. And so James chapter 4, verse 1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." That's the answer. Where do wars come from? Where do divisions come from? Where does fighting come from? It comes from that wicked, sinful flesh that we all have to live with. And when we don't turn to the Lord and yield to Him and ask Him to be our God, ask Him to be our guide, ask Him to have His way in our lives, then we do what we deem is best. And here come the wars. And here comes the fighting. And here comes the trauma. And here comes the bloodshed. All of the horrific things that we know that war brings. Verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. And again, we have a sin nature that is riddled with deceit and lies. And when we don't allow the Lord to take care of that, then it will rule us. I love the fact that the Bible tells us that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Despite what we do to one another, despite the hatred that we demonstrate, through the leading of the Lord, there is hope, there is light, there is love. There are stories such as we heard this morning of sacrifice. And even in the stories that we heard where it was recognized that those that were fighting against the resistance and against the good guys, as it were, 15 and 16-year-olds that were weeping for their mothers. You know, the Lord is the one that will bring peace. He is the answer. And He's not the answer that we're looking for someday down the road, maybe a million years from now. He's the answer today, right now. He will bring peace into our lives, into our very hearts, and if we would let Him, into our nations. But there is coming a day when He will bring peace. I want to read for you just a little write-up. Bear with me as I do, and then we'll pray, and I'll read a verse of Scripture or two and share a few other thoughts. But it says, as our nation prepares to remember all of the many brave men and women who laid their lives down on this November 11th, I can't help but to stop and admire the kind of person it must take to be willing to do what they did to secure our freedoms. They faced unthinkable fears, pressed on through weariness, laid aside personal comforts and desires, all for our sake, so that we could live in peace without fear of the enemy. The personal sacrifice and the unmatched love that these servants displayed is commendable, and in our home and in our lives and in our nation and this morning in our church, we are careful to honor those individuals. We remember today, tomorrow. We look back at those who gave their lives. But as believers, we look up to the one who can give them back again. You see, there is hope. Even in the midst of war, even in the midst of death and destruction, there is hope. And that hope, that light, is Jesus Christ. As a born-again Christian, I have found that Remembrance Day has a special twofold meaning for me. For on this day, as I consider those who have laid their lives down for my freedom, I can't help but to think of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who also willingly laid down His life and died in our place for an even greater and everlasting freedom. Jesus Christ, the greatest captain there ever has been or will be, died not only for His countrymen, but for all men. He willingly died not just for His friends, but also for His enemies. He died to provide a way for anyone and everyone who is willing to come and receive peace from the enemy and the freedom from the bondage of their sins. And this is real freedom. We can live our lives trusting not in ourselves, but in God's Word and the finished work of the cross. We never again have to fear suffering under the horrid terrors that the consequences of our sin had waiting for us. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we no longer are imprisoned by our sin natures or condemned, but through His spilled blood, we become free forever. When I consider our fallen soldiers and the freedom they won and continue to win for us, it reminds me that we ought to never take them or the freedom that they won for us for granted. Because unlike the salvation and the safety that we have through faith in Jesus Christ, there's no guarantee that we will always have the freedoms that we enjoy now. That's why we remember. Finally, when I consider our their lives remind me of a loyalty, a bravery, and a sacrifice. And I'm reminded of the love of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who knows what it means to pay the ultimate sacrifice. Do you know what it means to lay down your life for somebody else? It means that someone has gave all of their love all at once. All at once. To lay down the most precious thing that you have, The most precious thing that you and I have is our very lives. And we look to those and we honor those who willingly laid their lives down so that we could have freedom. And in those lives that have been lost and in those sacrifices, there is such a clear and vivid picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did the very same thing, who laid his life down willingly. He gave all his love at once to set us free from the enemies, from the enemy of our own sinfulness. It's so important that we remember these things. Not only do we remember those servicemen and women that laid their lives down on November the 11th and throughout our days, throughout the years, but we also meet together as a group of believers to remember Christ as he instructed. Remember me. Remember the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And so we do. John chapter 15, verse 13 says these words, "Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends." And this morning, as we watched the screen slideshow behind us, as we see these pictures, as we honored those that stood before us today and those that we think about and remember, I think it's very appropriate to demonstrate here this morning that they had that kind of love for us. The kind of love that our Lord and Savior had for us. "Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends." And I think how much more that the Son of God, who did no sin ever, laid his life down for the whole world, even his enemies. It's such an important day to remember not only those that perished or that served on our behalf, but our Savior, who understands what it means to give all. I want to take a minute here this morning and talk about a couple of things in regards to war and in regards to soldiers, being that we are honoring and remembering those that have served. And I don't know a whole lot about what it takes to be a soldier. I'm not very stable on my feet. I'd be the guy in the back on the gurney that they'd be carrying. Now this guy again, right? Where's the bubble wrap, they'd be asking. But there are a few things that I have picked up along the way. I picked up from people that I talked to about war and what it means to be a soldier, and also things that I've picked up in Scripture. You know, the Bible refers to us as Christians as soldiers of Christ. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4 tells us not to be entangled with the affairs of this world, because in doing so, we can't please him who has chosen us to be a soldier, the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. The Bible describes for us a war that we are presently involved with right now, a war that is unseen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of darkness. And the war is over the souls of mankind. And so we know a lot more about war than we think, Christian. John chapter 15, verse 13, as I just quoted, "Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends." And the first point I wanted to share is this, that a soldier puts his life on the line in battle. Let me pray. Father, in these last few minutes as we meet together this morning, as we honor those that have laid their lives down, those that are even in service today, keeping us free, keeping us safe from the enemy, Lord, we ask that you would comfort, strengthen, protect, bring to the minds of those men and women that are even now on the front lines the hope that Christ offers, that yes, in war there is death, but in Christ there is life everlasting, that there is a hope, there is a salvation that no enemy can take away from us, and that hope is in faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this morning that those who serve will come to know this truth, and not only serve in our militaries, but serve in the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together this morning. We ask in these last few minutes, you would just bless us as we consider these truths. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Jot it down. To give up your life for another is the ultimate sacrifice and is, according to the Bible, the greatest love that a person can show to another person. There's a story that I read, and I couldn't find it when I was sort of preparing for this today, but I remember reading it years ago, and I recollected as much as I could, but I believe that it was in World War II. There was a couple of soldiers from opposing sides that were out in the area that's called No Man's Land. At least that's one of the names for it, and this is sort of the middle ground. This is where you don't go. This is the most dangerous part of the battlefield. And most of the artillery would land in this no man's land area. From time to time, the first aid workers, those officers that would risk their lives to run through the bombshells and the grenades and the ammunition that was being fired on them, they would risk their lives to pull back from the depths of death those soldiers that were dying on the battlefield. And it just so happened that one day, one from one side and one from the other side, who were both trying to rescue their fellow soldiers, found themselves in the same foxhole together. One was already there. He was wounded, trying to rescue somebody else, and he rolled over and found a foxhole and rolled into this ditch-like pit, and he waited there for quiet so that he could maybe scurry out and drag himself back to get himself mended up. And while he was sitting there without any ammunition left, another soldier from the opposing side jumped into the same hole and to his surprise saw the younger soldier there. The two of them for a few minutes just froze and looked at each other, not sure what to do. One went for his gun. The older gentleman that just jumped in went for his gun. And when he seen the younger man didn't, he realized that he was out of ammunition. The older soldier pulled his hand back from his weapon and just sat, and they stared at each other for a little longer. They just sat there in silence as the bombs went off all around them. And they waited for quiet that never seemed to come. At one point, the younger soldier, concerned for his life, his own well-being, no doubt recognizing that he was wounded, and between the two, it was probably him that wasn't going to make it home. He pulled out a picture, all folded up, and on the picture was a young woman. He passed it to the other gentleman. From the opposing side, the older man, hands trembling, he gave that man the picture, and the man took it, and he looked at it. And as the tears streamed down this young soldier's face, that older soldier recognized that this must be his love. This was his bride. This was his girl. And he wanted so much to go home to be with her. And he could tell that. They couldn't speak one another's language. But just in the gestures, just in the motions, that older man knew what the younger soldier was saying. Please let me live. A moment later, a grenade lands within a few feet of the younger man, just randomly tossed by another soldier somewhere on the battlefield, and it rolls into this foxhole. Both the men recognize immediately in a split second what was about to happen. And the younger man told the story as he watched the older soldier from the opposing side looked him in the face, nodded his head, and threw his body over that grenade, tucked it under himself. And the younger soldier watched as the older man gave up his life. You know, death is inevitable, but how we live our lives makes all the difference. And being willing to lay our lives down for others, not only as military men and women, but as Christians, who maybe never have to shed any blood, but certainly we have to take a few grenades along the way. That's what it means to be a soldier. Acts chapter 7, verse 57 and 60 demonstrates, we won't turn there for time's sake, we only got about 4 minutes left, but it demonstrates that kind of love as a man named Stephen, a disciple of the early church, who was faithfully sharing the gospel with those around him, desperately trying to help them to see we're not trying to take power from you. We're not trying to manipulate you and cause you to live a different way. We're not trying to take anything from you. We just want you to know what we know is true. There is a God. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and He is your only hope. And it's the enemy that has blinded you from that hope. And if you leave this world without Christ, you will be lost forever. The war is over the soul. And so as Stephen did his best to lovingly share with them these truths, the response was only vitriol and hatred and they drug him out of the city, and they took his life. And even as Stephen lay there dying, as they threw those stones on him, he looked up and he saw heaven opened. And there was God seated upon the throne, and Jesus Christ standing, waiting to receive Stephen on the right hand of the Father. Comforted, even as he laid his life down, knowing that he was safe in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know a lot about soldiers, but I know that they willingly lay their life down for others, those that they don't even know. And we see such a picture of our Lord and Savior who did the same for us. John chapter 10, verse 17, just as we close, let me read this verse and share three final thoughts. It says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me." Jesus said these words, "I lay it down willingly." You know, as we remember those men and women that willingly gave up their homes, their lives, their freedoms, their health and well-being, again, we see a picture of love demonstrated and a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sets a wonderful example, and also himself. He understands. He gave all his love at once, too, and he willingly laid his life down. Three final thoughts. A soldier in battle laying down his life for his countrymen are noble and brave. And that's one of the reasons why Bethel has put together this service today, that we would remember them and honor that nobility, honor that courage, and honor that bravery. We will not forget what they did for us, to allow us the freedom and the privilege to go on living life. They gave up theirs. Noble and brave, those servicemen and women. A Christian soldier in spiritual battle laying down their life for the gospel's sake against the enemies of this world who hate Christ and hate the Word of God and hate anything that those Christians have to stand for are also noble and brave. I appreciate so much believers that have set examples for me of how they love others, even their enemies, to the point where they suffer, whether it's verbal or even physical persecution in some parts of the world. Being a Christian is a good way to die. You just lose your head. And yet, for Christ's sake, there are many believers that do exactly that. But finally, as I said already, our captain, the King of Kings, who is holy and perfect, he understands this because he laid down his life, not just for his countrymen, but also for his enemies. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so as we think about Remembrance Day, we think about people who lay their life down, and we love them, and we thank God for them, and we honor them, and we remember them. We look back, and we won't forget. It's not easy to remember some of these things. But in honor of their nobility, in honor of their courage, in honor of their bravery, we make sure that we take the time. We shed the tears. We look back, but we don't forget to also look up, to remember the one that paid the ultimate price, the one that can give those lives back again. He understands, the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to give all, because he did exactly that. I so appreciate you being here today, and I appreciate all the work and effort that's gone into this service, and I just pray that the Lord would use it for his glory and his honor. Father, we love you. Lord, as we remember, and even today, we know that we live in a world where there are still wars and rumors of wars. Just as your word says, the Bible is true. Kingdoms will continue to rise against kingdoms, nations against nation. Father, we know, according to your word, it's going to get a lot worse. Israel is surrounded by her enemies. The word of God is true. And according to Scripture, we haven't seen the worst yet. And yet there is hope in Christ. There is freedom in Christ. There is life in Christ. And Father, we just want to honor him today as well as all of those that laid their lives down. We want to remember that there is hope, even in the midst of war and death. Christ is that hope. And we thank you so much for that sacrifice that he willingly made. Lord, we just pray again for those men and women that are serving even today, away from their homes, away from their families, putting themselves in harm's way, their lives at risk. Father, we pray for them. As a church today, we ask that you would comfort, you would strengthen them, be with their families, protect them, and then, Father, most of all, that they would know Christ in some way. They would come to understand that Jesus Christ is the one that can give our lives back again. And so, Father, thank you again for each one that's been here today. We ask for your blessing as we close. In Christ's name, amen.